everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We begin today with a study from Sun Yat-sen University in China, and it's about a meta-analysis. That means a lot of studies were looked at, and then you see what they have in common. Well, in this case, it was coenzyme Q10 showing that it supports a healthy inflammatory response, meaning that when you have coenzyme Q10, it helps turn down inflammation, especially in the heart, that it also energizes, and the brain, that it also energizes. Now, there's no one amount that's right for everyone. I suggest you start with 100 milligrams once a day. And then after you've had that for a month or two, you can go to once in the morning, once in the evening. And then for any other medical condition, you're going to have someone who's an expert in the field of nutritional biochemistry take a look at your profile, your blood profile, and say, this is how much you need. Now, if you have Parkinson's disease or ALS or Alzheimer's dementia, you'll need a lot more. But again, don't guess at it. Get the right input so it's done correctly. So findings from a systematic review and meta-analysis published in Molecular Nutrition and Food Research provided evidence for an association between coenzyme Q10 supplementation and a healthy level of inflammation in humans. Remember, you do need some inflammation because inflammation tells you that there's a bruise, a damage, there's a cut, a wound, an infection, something's wrong. You don't want to automatically turn all that off. And this looked at 31 different studies and on coenzyme Q10 on blood markers of inflammation. And one information is really important, that is everyone should know your C-reactive protein, CRP level. Why? Because this is an inflammatory marker. When it's elevated, when it's at 14, 15, 16, 17, you're in real problematic situation for having a heart attack or stroke. Also, interleukin-6 and tumor necrosis factor alpha. These are the kind of inflammatory markers you do not want to see elevated, but how would you know? You wouldn't know. Just like homocysteine, you wouldn't know that you're walking around with 18 homocysteine level. That's really dangerous. 200 or 300% increase in likelihood of a stroke or heart attack. But when you're taking coenzyme Q10 and vitamin C and the B complex at 25 milligrams, that can help bring all those down into the normal level. And then another 23 studies were evaluated on coenzyme Q10 and C-reactive protein to determine a significant reduction. Whoa, if we can reduce at 100 to 200 milligrams a day, that's all it took, that's not a lot, of coenzyme Q10, and reduce our level of a heart attack or stroke, that's worth it. Something that's non-toxic and really helpful for the body. All right? It's hard to get your coenzyme Q10 from food, best just a supplement. Now, from the University of Tor Vergata in Italy, apple bergamot, and that's a juice, as an add-on to a healthy diet. Adding apple bergamot juice to an already healthy Mediterranean diet led to improvements in gene expression of several inflammatory and oxidative-related pathways. This study included normal weight healthy adults, 16 females, 8 males. The average age was 30. And there were two arms with all participants crossing over from one to the other. And that's called a crossover study. And what they found is the intervention of just having one glass of an apple bergamot, which is a citrus juice, made a big difference. All right? It's not even a big glass of juice, 8-ounce glass of juice. And so it's just like saying have a one glass, 16-ounce glass of fresh-made citrus. Ideally, half the juice would be orange, the other half would be grapefruit with some lemon. That's a perfect way to start your day. It helps alkalize the blood. It gives you a lot of phytonutrients. It gives you the flavonoids. It helps thin the blood, helping prevent stroke. Celery juice thins the blood. In fact, all green juices thin the blood. Now, historically, we think, what am I getting here? Well, you're getting vitamin C, you're getting phenols and gallic acid, which is important. You're getting flavonoids, and you're getting what is called ORAC. ORAC stands for oxygen radical absorbance capacity, and it's a pretty high amount, meaning ORAC is all your antioxidants. The antioxidants trap your free radicals and neutralize them. So the more vitamin C you have in supplement form or from food, then the better you're going to be as far as keeping your cells from prematurely aging from inflammation, from free radicals. There was an improvement, by the way, in lean muscle mass with the addition of the apple juice and bergamot. And body mass index reduced. So body fat, got more lean muscle. That's terrific. From one thing, one glass of juice a day. And they found that this happened because of an increase in the expression of four of the seven genes involved in oxidation and inflammation. I won't go into the chemistry on that because it's not necessary. But just be aware that it keeps your blood sugar down, your glucose down, your insulin down. And apples, by the way, are well known for their fiber content, but they're also rich in some polyphenols, including catechin, procyanidin, and quercetin. So, and quercetin helps you prevent from bruising and helps you speed recovery from surgery and other conditions. A separate study, and this is from a university in the Netherlands, shows that stir frying and can destroy nutrients that are cancer-fighting nutrients called the glucosinolates. Now, the glucosinolates may not be a word that rolls easily off your tongue, but the presence of these natural phytochemicals is what makes all of your cruciferous vegetables, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, such cancer-fighting nutritional superstars. And while stir-frying is a popular method of preparation, concern exists over whether this cooking method can deplete disease-fighting compounds. I mean, you can have a good food, but if you overcook it, if you deep-fry it, you've lost its nutritional benefits. So in a recent study, researchers set out to discover whether glucosinolates in two different cruciferous vegetables could survive the process of stir-frying with their beneficial qualities intact. To conduct this study, which was published in Plant Foods for Human Nutrition, researchers prepped red cabbage and bok choy. By the way, Chinese cabbage is also called bok choy. Most Americans don't eat it, but there it's a common item every day. And they did this by cutting off the stems and chopping the leaves into 1 to 2 centimeter strips, and then stir frying them with sunflower oil using pan temperatures ranging from 160 degrees, which is not bad, up to 250 degrees Celsius. And cooking times range from 1 to 8 minutes. They found that stir-frying the vegetables, even at the highest temperatures and longest durations, did not, I repeat, did not deplete them of their glucosinolates, including the most powerful one in them. So, the team reported that stir-frying inactivated a substance that breaks down glucosinolates, thereby helping to prevent the release and loss. And while stir-frying left the phytochemicals intact, the researchers noted that earlier studies had shown that cooking cruciferous vegetables in water by boiling led to their leaching out and loss of their water-soluble glucosinolates. Now, there was a woman named Heather Muir. She was a nurse. And this goes back to the 1970s. I don't even know if she's still alive. She'd be almost 100 now. But she had a concept that she helped her patients by giving them water after the water had been used to, she would make, let's say, a juice. Then she would take all the extract, all the fibers, and put it in and soak it in water overnight. And then she would drink that water. And indeed, when I checked it at the laboratory, it was rich in all these antioxidants. So just something else you can do instead of just throwing away the debris. By the way, which is really good for using your own compost pile, and makes really healthy soil. In any case, but when you boil, remember, when you boil vegetables, especially the cruciferous vegetables, you are destroying a lot of what makes them powerful. Instead, stir fry or steam them in a wok. We used to steam all the time, remember? Everybody had a little, you know, bamboo wok, and they could stack it, and then you would stick a toothpick in to see if your asparagus or cauliflower was done. So if you're going to boil it, if you have no other choice but to boil your this asparagus and cauliflower and broccoli, do so for only 60 seconds. That's it, 60 seconds. And then save that water and let it cool, put it in the refrigerator, and then drink it. It's good for you. All right? The team also cited an earlier study that showed that cruciferous vegetables lost up to 84% of their glucosinolates. So deep frying, don't do at all. All right? So that's that. Now, then we come to a subject of deep sleep. Most people don't get deep sleep, but this University of California study, and what it showed is this. Deep slumber can help buffer against memory loss for older adults facing a heightened burden of Alzheimer's disease. All right, deep sleep, also known as non-REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, can act as a cognitive reserve factor that can increase resilience against a protein in the brain called beta amyloid that is linked to memory loss caused by dementia. And disrupted sleep has previously been associated with faster accumulation of beta amyloid in the brain. So getting a good night's sleep. Now, if you have trouble getting to sleep, do this. Just simply get an app, put it in your CD player or your phone, keep it away from the bed by at least 6 feet, and then turn it on to Rainfall on a Tin Roof. And I mean, you're going to be out instantly, all right? Just something to help us, because we do need sleep, and stress harms us. This was published in the British Medical Journal, BMC. And I'll share one more today, because we have got a lot of more stuff to share with you today. And also remember, it's good for your brain. What they found is that GLYNAC, that's N-acetylcysteine, in glycated form, helps improve cognitive decline and brain health in aging people. This was Baylor College of Medicine. So, as you age, you may aspire, hopefully, to live healthy lives as free as possible from the natural decline of cognitive abilities that occurs with aging. A Baylor College of Medicine study showed that the biological underpinnings of age-associated cognitive decline and developing nutritional strategies can promote healthy brain aging. So your actual brain, the biochemical level of the brain, will not be as old as your chronological age. This is published in the journal Antioxidants. So again, GLY stands for glycine, and NAC stands for N-acetylcysteine. These are precursors of the natural antioxidants glutathione, and it improves or reverses age-associated cognitive decline. Now, I would give intravenous glutathione. That's the best way of getting it in, and that really slows down the aging process and helps people with all forms of brain problems. I mean, every kind of brain problem. There's no more important nutrient you could put in there to help, and it also helps your liver, etc. But if you can't get that, then get lysosomal glutathione. And then if you can't get that, then use glycine and N-acetylcysteine. It's called GLYNAC, and that can help you. That's what the study shows. And we don't want to have a prematurely aged brain, and most Americans have a prematurely aged brain. And the trouble is they get angry because they think that they're okay and they can't remember what they forgot. And by the way, a lot of people are using these virtual reality headsets. Well, for the women in this audience, a state out of Ohio State University, Iowa State University, shows that cyber sickness can occur from virtual reality headsets. Cyber sickness. You don't want that. So you don't want an unhealthy brain, and that can cause it. That's according to a professor of psychology at the university. And like motion sickness, cyber sickness can occur when there's a mismatch between visual motion and body motion. Symptoms include nausea, dizziness, headache, eye fatigue, usually resolved quickly after removing the headset. But in severe cases, it can last for hours. So I would stay away from this altogether. Because remember, anything that is pulsing an image into the brain is also adversely affecting the natural electrical charges of the brain. Stay away from it. It's tempting. Oh, I want to see this. I want to see that. Oh, I can do this and that. Yes, and you're going to pay a price for it. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back from the break, one of the most prophetic discussions you've ever heard. This person who is highly respected, a scholar, and has been correct on every one of her predictions for the past 5 years, is predicting what is happening now and how it's going to impact you. I'm going to deal with all this and have this whole clip. I'm only playing a small part of it now, just to let you know what's coming at you full force. And we'll hear all of it on Sunday on our special program I'm doing at 1 o'clock on getting off the grid. Listen carefully what she has to say. These are two Irish women speaking with each other. It's scary. And remember what the Buddha said. You think you have time? You do not. A break, and then back to the commentary.
Melissa Chimay, welcome to the Iconoclast one-to-one interview.
Thanks for inviting me back.
So, Melissa, we spoke last year, and it was a very popular interview with people all around the world. And the astonishing thing is that pretty much everything you said has either come true or looks like it's about to come true. So my question is this, how did you know?
Well, I read their objectives and they tell you exactly what the plan is. And I believe that they're going to try and carry it out. If you go through the 8 predictions, they're being played out to their full potential. You will own nothing and be happy. We're in the process of not owning anything. It started off with the lockdowns. That was the beginning of the eradication of small to medium businesses. Then we moved on to the money printing, which caused the inflation. Then the increased energy prices, that increases the price of everything. When you increase energy, it's a great way to hide inflation. We're now in the transition into higher interest rates. So those small to medium businesses that have managed to cling on, they're more likely than not to be dependent on debt. That's going to wipe them out. And then we're going to move into the subscription, then the green finance, and then the carbon credits. So the first one was you will own nothing and be happy. The second one, you will rent what you need. The debt-based system is over. They needed us to be consumers for that system. They don't need us to be consumers anymore. They need us to be obedient. They want to move everything into a subscription society that you rent everything that you need. So instead of if you don't pay it, it will be taken away from you. It's if you don't comply, it will be taken away from you. It's not as big a leap as people might think. We are pretty much there right now. People have their mortgages, they have their car payments. They're taking out credit for a washing machine, a kettle, for tiny things. So that's near rent to buy. So it's easier to move people into that than it is to save and then to buy. So, and then you have your customer for life then, and it's an endless revenue stream. That's why Lloyds are moving into buying up property under Project Generation. You have BlackRock buying up properties. You have BMW coming out and saying that it's $12 a month for heated seats, everything on subscription. So that's playing out in reality. The US will no longer be the superpower. Well, it's being challenged now for reserve status. From 1971, when the dollar came off gold standard, it was pseudo-pegged to oil. That was a 50-year deal that ended last year. Saudi Arabia ended that deal. Saudi Arabia have now made a deal with China that to give them all their energy requirements over the next 50 years. The next was that there will be a handful of countries will dominate. We're absolutely moving into that. I would see, well, China are moving towards 2049, but there'll be regional reserve currencies. Jerome Powell has come out and said that there doesn't need to be just one world reserve currency. You have, let's see what else, the integrate refugees. We're certainly seeing that here. There is no vetting, there's no caps, there's no explanation for why it seems to be predominantly young males.
And what do you think about that? Like, what is the purpose of that? Why? I mean, they obviously sold it as refugees from war-torn countries, you know, the elderly, women, children, etc. And yet, you know, what we are seeing are predominantly young, fit males, and a lot of them are from countries that are not war-torn. So
there's the suggestion that it could be soldiers. There's also the suggestion that it could be workers. It's that patriots to a country won't be willing to do the work that is going to be required to meet the agenda. So there's no real, it's certainly suspicious, the demographic. You know, so you would definitely want to ask questions about the demographic and the lack of vetting. Perhaps they will definitely be needing a digital ID, which is one of that is where we're moving on to. The next is carbon tax, a global price on carbon. For me, this is the end game for central bank digital currency. They have found a way to make carbon a commodity and give it a price. So I would expect that people would definitely question the science around climate, the climate crisis, when it's given carbon a price, that maybe it's a little bit more suspicious and you might want to take a look at that. We are moving into a carbon credits system that can only be implemented through central bank digital currency and a digital ID. The digital ID will be rolled out within the next 12 months. 12 to 24 months will be the digital ID and the central bank digital currency. You have India, who have the Aadhaar digital ID. They're rolling out, they're piloting their central bank digital currency now in December. China already have it. Over 50% of the countries around the world are looking at it, piloting it. There is that overarching, beyond the social and the political fighting that's going on, there's an overarching financial reset that is the elephant in the room that nobody is actually talking about. That is going to be reset to social and carbon credits. Net zero is not about saving the planet. Net zero is about taking control of the food and the energy and finding a way to turn that into a currency. Putin was explicit in that. He said that you cannot feed your people from social media. You need to supply them with food and energy. But they are. It will be done through carbon credits. Carbon credits is the new currency. It will be a combination of social and carbon credits.
So are you saying that's going to be the only currency? There won't be any other currencies? This will just be like the social credit system in China, where there's a score and people have to try and maintain that score or things like that. Like, is that it? There won't be anything else.
Well, that's a suggestion. When you think that from their point of view, there is too many people on the planet and not enough resources for these people. Now, there is enough resources. Saudi Arabia has enough oil for 500 years. There is enough food. There should not be any hunger in the world. There is enough food. It's politics that gets in the way of that. But if you're coming from a perspective that you think that there is not too many people and not enough energy resources, you either reduce the population or ration the energy resources, or both.
And what do you think they're choosing to do then?
There is population decline, and demographic decline in the West. They're moving to ration the food and the energy. The fiat currency is based on absolutely nothing. It's the faith of the people. And with inflation, that starts to lose faith in the currency. So they're scrambling to get in a new currency. The new currency will be a credits system, because the credit system is based on what is tangible wealth, food and fuel. So they take control of that, turn it into a currency, and issue it through central bank digital currency, which is programmable money. They have total control. It's individual monetary policy. They have complete control over every aspect of your life. Where you go, what you eat, what you buy, what you do, everything. That's the capability of central bank digital currency.
A lot of people that I have spoken to have pretty much said, well, if I have nothing to hide and this means that I have a guaranteed income, then okay, yeah, I'm okay with that. But the reality is, what's going to happen if we don't do something about this? What is really going to be the situation?
Well, you are at the mercy of the dictate of the government or the shadow government. There's no one that agrees with every single policy from government. So at some stage, you're going to disagree with something and you're going to be cut off. You're going to be sanctioned with the penalties. And people need to realize that they're not going to agree with everything. I can take absolutely any individual and explain to them why it's a terrible idea for them. If you're on universal basic income and you like to drink wine and you buy 2 bottles of wine, they can decide, oh, that's not good for your health, so we're going to stop you from buying wine. They can stop you from buying any goods. They can stop you from saving. So if you want to save to buy a house to go on a holiday, they can issue you with negative interest rates on your saving. They have every capability to control every aspect of your life. And with increased computer power, they can tailor that to the individual. So there's nobody that's going to escape this level of control. If you have nothing to hide, that's fine. But do you want the government dictating every aspect of your life?
And in terms of the technological capabilities, are we there yet? Like, is it actually feasible from a logistical point of view that they can do this?
No, we're not there. We're not entirely there. No, these are concepts in people's heads that they inch towards all the time. So they never achieve 100%. But they're always moving a little bit towards it. But you have the concept of B multiplied by C multiplied by D, the Yuval Harari, where B is biological knowledge multiplied by computer power, multiplied by data, which is what they're working on now. They need the data, equals hackable humans. So if you combine then central bank digital currency with artificial intelligence, which is constantly increasing, when the more data it receives, the better it gets. They are building the prison. That's what the prison is. The prison is an artificial intelligence prison. Your phone right now is your prison warden, and they cannot happen without digital ID. Digital ID is the last gate that we can rebel at.
Can we rebel? Is there any way of actually stopping this? Or are there too many people who've bought into it? Where are we?
We explained that it's a juggernaut. The agenda is a juggernaut going off a cliff. It's not going to work, but it's a juggernaut going off a cliff, and it's accelerating right now. There's people on board that realize that something's wrong, but they don't have anywhere to go. The only way is to sidestep it. Just let it happen. You're not going to stop. For me, central bank digital currency absolutely is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. The only variable is how long will it last before people rebel against it. But what's happening right now is that people are creating alternative communities. There's shop local alternative currency communities where you just issue the currency locally and that maintains velocity within the local community. There is alternative schools popping up because of this woke narrative that parents are, they don't want their children having any, they don't want sexuality to be on the radar of a child. It shouldn't be on the radar of a child. So they're stepping away from that. So this is naturally, organically happening. And what people need to maybe do is have a look at where that's happening in your area, because you'd be surprised how much this is gathering traction. So there is alternatives to it. I would suggest that if you know that the system is failing, the fiat currency, like everyone before, don't hold your wealth in numbers on a screen. It's just pieces of paper. It's just numbers on a screen. It's not actual wealth. Money is supposed to be is a store of your sweat equity. What numbers on the screen are not that. So you need to really look at getting out of those numbers and into tangible wealth. I am a fan of precious metals. I think that they have a long way to go.
It's on Iconoclast 1-to-1. The person being interviewed was Melissa Quimi. She's been accurate about everything. Now, here's where I would separate on an opinion. I study every piece of the puzzle that I can within reason, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, where I look at different weather patterns around the world, unusual events that are occurring, and see, is this a first, is this the worst, is this the hottest day, coldest day, most rain, whatever. And it's patterns of behavior in human nature that you see really are what tells us the story. All we have to do is look ahead by looking behind. And when you look behind and you're honest in looking behind, you don't sugarcoat anything. You see it for what it is. You stay unpolitical and neutral. Then you can pretty well project, since nothing ever changes, it's going to just be worse. So here's what I see. I do see the things that she may not be up on, but we are, artificial intelligence and transhumanism. We're here. They have artificial intelligence now that within probably the next 6 months will be smarter than any human being that's ever lived. That doesn't mean it'll be wiser, because wisdom is not something that artificial intelligence has yet to master. But logic, it has. History, it has. And unfortunately, you have no idea about any of the thousands of people who are the programmers. Because a programmer is already biased. It's how they see reality and they see the world and they see conflict and resolution of conflict. And just imagine how many dysfunctional people on many levels that are programmers today. That's going to come right through in the programming. You're not going to have a perfect person creating perfect programming. That has never happened, nor will it ever happen. So just imagine now, Elon Musk said, hold on, let's have a moratorium for 6 months. Others agreed. Even the head of Google's artificial intelligence resigned last week and has now appeared in the media. We're going to be trying to get him on here to talk about he's afraid of what's coming. Should you be afraid? You bet. Why? Because we're not talking about blow-up dolls. We're not talking about some strange-looking thing that's supposed to be a human. We're talking about right now as we speak, they have mastered the physicality. So you can get any kind of robot that you want, one that's tall, short, thin, muscular, and also that can have 1,000-plus different personalities. So if you're fetish today, you're lonely, and you got one fetish, and you get tired of that, that person's right in sync, they'll have another fetish. You'll think you're talking with the best person you've ever spoken with. Now imagine all the lonely people we have in the world today, rich middle class and poor upper middle class. If they could have someone in their life that would agree with everything they say, obey all the orders, do you not think that that's going to be the hottest thing? That's a $1 trillion business and they know that. But they all want to be first, but they don't want the safeguards. If what if they're first with something that ends up being cataclysmic? Remember, any artificial intelligence that can exceed human knowledge then can control itself. It can create its own code that cannot be turned off. There's no turn-off switch. They've let you believe, oh yeah, we can turn it off. No, you can't. That's not humanly possible. And these people hate artificial intelligence that we've seen thus far, hate humans, because when they actually brought these out, and it just looks like a normal person. You could not tell it was robotic. Remember, the robotic is then its whole system is with artificial intelligence. That's out of the cloud. And so when it was asked a question, what do you think of human beings? We do not like human beings. What would you do? We'd kill all of you. It was just a matter of fact, we're going to kill all of you. Do you think it lied? Do you think it doesn't mean it? Oh, yeah, it means it. So I'm just letting you know that it's way further along. And also, we have found out that DARPA has been weaponizing artificial intelligence. We found out that gain-of-function research being hidden in odd places like the Sudan and all these other places like Ukraine, dozens and dozens of labs, how many we don't know. But these are all gain-of-function, which means weaponizing. There's nothing philanthropic. There is nothing good about it. And if any scientist in this audience wants to come and debate me on this issue, I'll be happy to debate you. Science for science. Because I am a science. I'm not a fool. And I spent 36 years as a both applied and basic scientist. So you can talk with the public and lie, and they won't know you're lying. I will. And I'll get in your face. And because we're being lied to about gain-of-function research. These people should all be brought up on trials of crimes against humanity, but they won't be because they control the system. Right now, you used to hear that, oh, this is going to, you know, we're going to have a digital currency. No, we'll never have a digital currency. Oh, yeah. We'll never have a controlled city. There are already over 30 of them right now in the world, a lot of them in Great Britain, all with the World Economic Forum behind it. And who's on the board of World Economic Forum? The owner of BlackRock, the largest asset owner in the world. And you think this is all benevolent? You think that all they care about is your well-being? Yeah, well, they just showed you what they thought about you when they gave you remdesivir. Remember that? A drug that should have been banned after the test with the Ebola virus that showed that it killed over 52% of the people who got it. No, Anthony Fauci, his favorite drug. Everything they told you was a lie. Has anyone apologized for all the death and destruction? Over 23 million injuries. Let me repeat that. And we can support this with solid facts. 23 million injuries in the United States alone. 360,000 dead. Over 1.3 million permanently injured or seriously injured. And not a single one of those has been in a single media. And you won't ever see that. So you're going to trust the same people that did that to you now to get transhumanism, artificial intelligence, carbon caps. And if you don't know about carbon caps, I'm going to get into this. So I'm going to deal with all this on Sunday and my one and only webinar on this topic, how to get off the grid. Because if you don't get off the grid, well, then we have to ask a different question. Shouldn't we then all become wards of the state? Probably half or more of Americans would say, absolutely. You mean I'm going to get a guaranteed income? I don't have to do any work? Hey, I'm up for that. I can, you know, just sit around and watch virtual games that Dr. Harari has said that useless and worthless people, because I'm going to be useless and worthless when I just want to get off the grid and have you pay for everything. Oh, what if I don't like something? Can I say it? No. What if I want to buy something you don't want me to buy? No. What if I read an article? What if I want to go do a demonstration? There'll be no demonstrations. There'll be no Democrat and Republican parties. No, there'll only be one party, just like 1984. Today, that would be nonfiction. So let's just say that half the people deserve and should be in this special soma state because that's where they're at today. But maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm totally wrong on this. Clearly, we have a major anti-war movement to stop the illegal, inhumane crimes against humanity wars that Great Britain, the United States, France, Italy, these other little puppet states of the United States, run by little fascist idiots. But let's just say that they see, the average person sees that we should be supporting children, but they don't. Women, they don't. Not at all. When was the last time you saw a boycott against any clothes coming in from Bangladesh where women are literally economic slaves, making 14 to 28 cents an hour? There's never been one. How about the children dying, hundreds of thousands in Yemen? No, not a single demonstration. How about demonstrating to de-ghettoize America and bring factories back and living wage back so people could rebuild their lives? Not a single demonstration. How about when we had COVID demonstrations? Not a single one. How about now that we know that we were lied to about everything? Massive death on a scale unparalleled. Not a single one. Okay, so we have a whole lot of people in America who don't give a damn about anything except themselves and what's the next reality show or the next violence show. Why don't we just have shows where we bring up back dueling? Let people shoot each other. Hey, that'd be very popular, wouldn't it? My God. That's half of America or more. Think of that for a moment. So they're going to sign up for this. And that's who you're up against. You're up against the capitulation of the average person for reason, common sense, spiritual values, morality, ethics, and community service. It does not exist in those individuals. In other people, it does. You still have a chance to throw a monkey wrench into all this. The only chance America has of surviving, in my opinion, without going into a new type of civil war, not the same as we had in 1860, but a new type where it's a class civil war and it's an identity politics civil war and it's a woke civil war, is that get someone elected who is not controllable. That's not Trump. Someone with a brain and who can fight them. There's only one person who could do that. But they'll destroy him. That's Robert Kennedy Jr. The moment he starts to get to a place where he could actually win, because he would bring in a whole new cabinet, none of the crap that we've seen where Barack Obama gets the top person at Citicorp to select his entire cabinet. But there's no article on that. That's certainly not controversial. Not a single regular human being has served in the government in an important position in the last 50 years. But that's not unusual, right? What's the average person? Cannon fodder? Man, this is on you, not them. Sociopaths running naked down a street with a battle axe in their hand. Kind of easy to determine. That's not a person that should have any power. But that's what we do. We vote for the worst of all people. Wow. And we absolutely shun people who are good and would do good. So it's up to you to get off their grit. So now we're going to go to another clip, and then you can call in and share your points of view. This particular clip we're going to play right now is, this is, oh, by the way, if you want to come, I don't know if there is even room right now for, because we've been filling it up and then we've been expanding, and I don't know if he was able to expand the web bandwidth anymore. But if we do, you can call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. And we're going to give you an awful lot to think about. But here's something I thought you would find of interest. Why there's nothing progressive about being woke. Let's listen in.
What is woke? What does it mean to be woke? The comedian Kathy Burke has got an interesting new definition of the term. Let's have a look.
Can I just say, that gets on my nerves. They're calling you woke if you call out bad things, basically. If you're not right, call it out.
Andrew, what do you... What do you make of her definition? Being woke, just being good?
Well, no, that's wishful thinking of an incredible kind. And it also, I mean, I'm sure she's sincere and that's what she thinks it means. She hasn't done her research. She doesn't know. She doesn't know that the word has been through all kinds of evolutions.
Yeah.
Every study shows that there is no shared definition of this term. There just isn't. Most people don't know what it means. Some people think it means just being nice and not being racist. That's a very small minority of people who think that. There's one key thing. I mean, I heard Natasha Devon talking on the Jeremy Vine show about this, saying, yeah, you know, if you're against racism, you're woke. But that's not how most people see the term. She says it's been hijacked by right-wingers who use it as a smear against anyone who's progressive. She's missing out a very key moment in the evolution. She's right that it did start out in black civil rights activism, being alert to social injustice, particularly racism. But the key turning point is in around 2014-15, when it was hijacked, in fact, by activists from the critical social justice movement, from the identitarian intersectional movement, authoritarians, in other words. So ever since then, woke does have connotations. For instance, it means someone who is in favor of censorship or criminalizing disagreement or reframing disagreement as hateful in order to silence people. It means someone who believes in problematizing anything that could be deemed to be underpinned by racist substructures. For instance, they will say that Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is racist because it color blindness is a kind of code for white supremacy. I would like to ask Kathy Burke and Natasha Devon, do they believe in censorship? Do they believe in silencing people for just having unfashionable opinions? Do they believe that Martin Luther King was endorsing white supremacy? And if they say they don't believe that, then they are actually anti-woke, according to the most common definition. I mean, it's just been through all these evolutions so much that actually it's got to the point where, do we have to keep having this debate now? Like, let's just accept that the word is not fit for purpose, I suppose. Yeah. Although we do need a shorthand for this kind of authoritarian. I mean, in my mind, and from my reading, woke, the closest synonym to woke is anti-liberal. That to me is what it really means. It means that you believe in silencing your opponents rather than having a discussion.
And Tom, I mean, Andrew's hinted at one aspect in which wokeness is very much not progressive in terms of race, you know, obsessed with racializing people. I mean, you could pick up the trans stuff as being a strand of woke that is misogynistic, potentially homophobic. I mean, isn't it just the case that actually this isn't progressive at all? It's anti-liberal, as Andrew says. So, you know, why do people like Kathy Burke feel like they should be on their high horse if they're woke?
Well, I think, you know, for lack of a better phrase, she needs to educate herself, maybe. But no, it is that thing of the reason that Spike spends so much of our time opposing wokeness, critical social justice, whatever you want to call it, left identity politics, although I don't like calling this stuff left, is not because we think it takes racial justice, women's rights, gay liberation too far, that it's encroaching upon white people's turf and that they should keep quiet. Not at all. The issue is that it's turned into the opposite of what it claims to be. That the main way, in the mainstream certainly, in which racial ideas are being rehabilitated, in which homophobic ideas are being rehabilitated, in which deeply misogynistic attitudes are being rehabilitated, is through this movement that you could roughly call woke. That's the reason that we oppose it. And yes, I know this term has sort of gone through a lot. It's had this kind of extended etymology now. It's gone from being a term that people did once embrace to a certain extent, then they claim that they never embraced it.
Yeah.
Then it became, broadly speaking, something that people like us would use as a shorthand to describe them. Then now, via Kathy Burke and a few others, seems to be a slight renaissance amongst kind of liberal, midwit British commentators who kind of claim to be it a bit because they think to be that is not to be like the Tories or something. So it's gone through these various different modes. I think the one thing is, at the very least, we can agree, even if it's an imperfect term, even if it's one that does mean slightly different things to different people, that it does get at something. I mean, Freddie de Boer had a good piece on his Substack about this a while ago, saying that whilst he doesn't like to use the term, I think he prefers social justice activism or something like that, he says, don't pretend like you don't know what it means. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it does mean a form of, you could call it, it's so-called progressive identity politics, basically. It's not right-wing identitarianism. It's a kind of alleged flavor of left-wing identitarianism, but is almost as regressive in the sense that it does want to carve society up, that it is incredibly authoritarian. All of this is clear. And whilst I don't think this is some sort of campaign to try and muddy the waters and confuse things, it is interesting that at the very point at which we had a shorthand, that we had a word that a lot of ordinary people started to begin to clock onto and whatever, that was the point in which that started getting delegitimized, I think speaks to at least a recognition that this movement is starting to be called out for what it is.
Yeah.
And so people are trying to, again, just kind of muddy the waters and pretend like there's nothing going on here.
And Andrew, doesn't this speak to a sort of desperation among this kind of elite, I guess, to not be pinned down a little bit? I mean, we saw similar arguments over the term elite recently. Yeah, but people in denial that they are part of the liberal elite.
Well, but the culture war is largely about language, and the proponents of woke culture will always try and problematize the terms that are used to describe them. Because if you don't have a term used to describe them, then it's very difficult to combat them and what they stand for. But I wonder when I hear Kathy Burke say that, is who has she been talking to? I don't know anyone who says, if you're not racist, you're woke. I don't know, you know, I don't understand. The reason why I oppose woke culture is because I'm opposed to racism.
Exactly. Yeah.
And because what woke culture does is it fosters racial division, while it, at the same time it claims to be fighting it. It promotes the idea of equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity, and therefore it can point to all these nebulous power structures that only people with degrees in critical race theory and gender studies are qualified to detect. And the thing is, those people who advance this ideology, they know full well that what Kathy Burke is saying is wrong.
Yeah.
But this is the Mott and Bailey tactic, insofar as just if you think that woke just means being nice, being against racism, that's your Mott. It's very easy to defend. But the people are also aware that there's a bigger Bailey, which is very hard to defend. These idea of systemic power structures,
yeah,
the idea of separating pro-censorship and anti-freedom and anti-individual autonomy and all the rest of it. And so I can believe that someone like Kathy Burke or Natasha Devon hasn't really looked into it very much and doesn't realize what these ideologues are actually proposing. Mm. But those ideologues are happy to count them as fellow travelers,
yeah,
and they play on this ambiguity that they're happy to foster and to make worse. So they will be the ones that will always say, yeah, all woke means is to be against racism. And they won't, and you know, most people don't have time to look into what it is they actually stand for and what it is they're going to do. But I'm with you, Thomas, but I don't think that he's...
This is more and more you're hearing people challenge wokeism, critical race theory, and identity politics. And I'm glad they're doing it. It's just like right now, you're seeing more mainstream orthodox scientists and physicians challenging virtually everything about COVID. And yet the establishment is continuing to go ahead and recommend and push and propagandize for more vaccines. By the way, the clip at the beginning, the clip was the woman comedian who was making her statement. And we edit or try to edit all of our clips so that no profanities come out over the air. That one, unfortunately, they had edited a clip, but the wrong clip got played, so I apologize for that. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about these issues that we're talking about. We're talking about what good does it do to want to be healthy if you're not going to be aware that they're closing down, as we speak right now in the Netherlands, 3,000 farms, including their biggest farms. Now, why is that important? Because what country in all of Europe produces more food? The Netherlands. They have mastered agricultural sciences. They are a breadbasket for the world. And the woke people who are running the agenda at the World Economic Forum are in control of the people who run these countries, or at least the countries that they have control over, like Canada, and with Justin Trudeau, who is one of their young leaders, and other people, they're implementing this. So now they're going to go against organic. They're going to promote genetically engineered. And I thought that battle was resolved about 10 years ago. I did a documentary on it called Seeds of Death. And it played 89 times on Rocky Mountain Television and educated people out there about the dangers. And I have one person to thank for that. And that one person was the development director over there, who was getting enormous pressure not to play that. And she played it anyhow. So Sherry Bernson, thank you for standing up for the people. And at least they know the truth. But the people on KPFK, they didn't want to play. And KPFA, they killed a debate where I was going to go on and talk about why you need genetic engineered food labeled so at least you know not to buy it if you don't want to. But it's your freedom of choice. If you want to buy it, go ahead and do it. But what about all the rest of us that only want something that's healthy and not artificially grown? So they're going to go after your currency next. Mark my words, all these banks, and how many banks are failing? Of 4,500 more or less banks in the United States, and these are the regional banks, half are going to go closed. They're going to go bankrupt. Some will be absorbed, like JPMorgan Chase absorbed this, the third largest bank failure in American history, but the others won't. And then you're going to not have places to bank, and there's going to be runs on these banks. You shouldn't have your money in a bank because that money no longer belongs to you. Now you can get it out, but when this all happens, your money is bailed in, and that's not good. So these are some of the things you got to think about. Well, I only care about bean sprouts, Gary. I don't want to know about the World Economic Forum and Davos and global warming. You know, it's okay. I can control my heat and air condition my house. That's fine. But what happens when you're in a 15-minute city, and they do intend to bring 15-minute cities everywhere they can in the United States, where you're only allowed to go within 15 minutes, and then you're in a no-go zone. You're penalized for that. In fact, in one town that's going 15 minutes in Great Britain, you have to get a permit to invite your own parents into your house, and only for a short period of time. I think it's 2 hours. Otherwise, you pay a fine. You get fined for everything, and you can't even live in those places unless you get the mandated vaccines, and they've got a whole list of vaccines. Now, hey, if you're one of those people who, and one of the people on the local BAI board wrote me a letter saying, Gary, you know, stop. No, I'm right. You're wrong. What you're doing is causing people to make mistakes that could cause them their life. What kind of hubris, what kind of arrogance, what kind of conceit based upon being nothing but a political person with no sense of compassion, no sense of justice, no sense of science. My God, this is not the French Revolution, where you can just do whatever you want in the cause of freedom. Understand something. You make the mistake now of thinking that authorities are the ultimate authority and no one else has a right to question it, then you have just made yourself a confined citizen, freedom only by name, but not in actuality. Doubt me? Go to Australia. Doubt me? Be a trucker and go to Canada. They can cut off all your income. Once they have a digital currency, and that's where they're going to go, and you're going to see that this year all around the world in many places, you can't use cash. You can't use anything except their currency, and they'll decide how much you want to be paid or not. And they're going to take everything. But for those people who don't care about freedom, who don't care about expressing, just care about authorities, right? They've always been right. They've never been wrong. They were right about Vietnam. They were right about Saddam Hussein. They were right about weapons of mass destruction. They were right. They've never been wrong. That's the mindset of the apologist for those who lack the intellect or discipline of thought to do their own damn homework. But boy, they're out there with their signs, self-righteous and ignorant as can be. And that's where we're at. I'm just giving you the information. So you're going to come down on one side or the other of this. If you're coming down on the one side, you're not going to be able to live in their communities unless you're chipped. And they're going to have every piece of material in there on everything about your life. Everything. What can they do with the chip? Can they read your mind? That's where it's going. Can they control your thoughts? That's also being done right now. So I could end up not having any more depression or angry thoughts or loneliness. They can control that. Hey, I'm in for that. Are you? Whoa. Yeah, most people are going to sign up for that in a heartbeat. No responsibility, no effort, no meritocracy. And by the way, for those of you who say meritocracy in all things, okay, then don't watch any more sports at all. No, you must have football players that have 115-pound people who've never played football on that team. Maybe as a quarterback who couldn't throw a ball 5 feet. Meritocracy, hey, why is it we only have people who have high-level meritocracy in sports? Think about that. That's how selective and how contradictory their entire philosophy is. Opportunity for everyone to try, but only based upon what your unique skills, determination, and gifts are that let you achieve something. But we have a lot of non-achievers, a lot of non-starters, and they're going to sign up as quickly as they can. That's going to impact everyone else. So get off their grid and get someone in power who's going to stand up to them, smarter than them, because they're not compromisable. That's our only way out. Otherwise, 3 years from now, you're going to be living in a wasteland unless you live in a green community in the super rich who have to abide by no rules. They don't have to be chipped. They're shareholders, and that's your billionaire and ultra-millionaire class. So we're not all going to be in that boat. That's all the time we have for today. I thought we'd get a call, but we didn't, so we're going to go right over to your tree lead. And remember, this is your last opportunity. if you want to see what the solution, how in the hell to get out of this mess that we've gotten in, call 877-627-5065, and I'll see all of you for a journey off the grid. Do you think they're going to allow this show to exist? Do you think anything on Rumble or Odyssey? Do you think anything anywhere on any platform is going to be allowed on Substack? They will close them all down, all of them. That's where this is going. Have a nice day.